Hello, my name is Maria, and I am a compulsive overeater, and I'm speaking tonight with my story, where I was, what happened, where I am now. I cannot remember a time where I was not a compulsive overeater. And it feels so good to be in a room full of compulsive overeaters because you all know what being a compulsive overeater feels like. All I knew is I was growing up and I knew that there was something wrong with me that I did not eat like the other children. I was a child when I knew something was wrong with me. I knew it, I got the feeling that it was wrong. I was very ashamed of it. I knew that it upset my mother terribly, that I was bigger than the other kids. And I have a very distorted mind's eye view of what I look like. I thought I was huge. But when I look back at the pictures, I was a chubby little kid. But I just thought I was so big. It took a lot of bullying for being an overweight child. Back in the 60s when I was growing up, nobody was overweight. So I kind of stuck out like a sore thumb. And I'm also very tall. I have a size 12 foot. I'm a large person. So I was the tallest one in the class. And probably there was one other girl that was bigger and taller than I was, and I felt so sorry for her. Because she probably got picked on more than I did. And all I can remember is just trying to stay safe from, the bullies, and that the food gave me a sense of what they call ease and comfort. I had nothing else that I knew of at that time to do that. But food was always there. We didn't have a lot of, wasn't my mother always cooked every night. She made a nice, well-balanced meal. We had treats in our lunch boxes that were the remainders were kept in a closet, and I was always forever going through this emotional turmoil of going to that closet and being who ate them all. It was me. I went on my first diet when I was still in grade school. And I know that my mom put me on a diet because she loved and cared about me, and she wanted me to be a healthy weight, not because she disliked me in any way or didn't love me in any way. I did lose weight, and I still didn't feel thin enough, and I was always forever on a diet. Like high school, I discovered, I could go to the drugstore and buy an over-the-counter appetite suppressant. I could read magazines that had diets and things like that in it. And my whole world revolved around food and my weight and the number inside my clothes. And I really was pretty much like this very self-absorbed, selfish person, because I never really thought of anybody or anything other than those things. Of course, I love my family, I love my parents, my brother. But I was very much into how much I weighed and what size I was. And in Bill's story, he talks about, I have arrived. I always thought that arriving for me would be to be thin. Like I really didn't have any drive for success or happiness, or my drive was for being a normal weight to being thin. And I wanted to be pretty too, because my mom always like would always was taking everybody's inventory about their appearance, and I knew that it would make her happy if I was pretty and thin, and I just wanted to make her happy. I when I was in my 20s, I married I got married to a man who was so wrong. I married a man who fed me. He was like the junkie marrying the dealer. You know, he his family would go out and eat all the time. It was usual and customary to sit down and eat whatever was in front of you in the bags and the boxes. And it, you know, they ordered fast food all the time, all this food that, like, you know, we just didn't have a whole lot of in my house. And whatever I wanted, it was okay. Boxes of things were given to me at holidays, things like that. You know, it was a very selfish thing to do because you know, that's not a reason to marry somebody. You know, I knew, like, in the back of my head that I should call things off. But you know, all I would do would be go home and to eat. And by that time I was drinking socially. I was never really a heavy drinker. Or even a hard drinker. I just drank enough to get drunk and say, forget the diet. You know, then of course, then I wanted to go to the local restaurant and order the sweetest thing on the menu. For some reason, I tucked away in the back of my head this Overeaters Anonymous. I must have heard it on, like, a, you know, I think Action News used to have these little information announcements. And after my daughter was born, I went to a meeting, and it was at a local church, and you know, and everybody was very, very nice to me. I felt like I was at a party where everybody knew each other, and I didn't know anybody, but still, you know, I couldn't. They were very nice to me. They called me. One person stayed on the phone with me while I threw out the food that I had bought at the mall that night. Said, is it in the trash can? Like, you know, which trash can? You know, because I was like, what do you mean, which trash can? Like, the trash can, like, that's outside, it needs to be in there, not the one that's inside, because you could go in and get it. And you know, they stayed on the phone with me while I did that, and I realized that was a very kind thing to do. They were all talking about God and a disease and an illness, and I was like, what? I just need to diet. You know, I just need to diet, and you know, just tell me what to eat and I'll eat it, you know. And I wound up leaving. I wasn't ready for the love and the fellowship that they were extending to me. Over the course of probably the next year, the binges got worse. Like, at this point, I'm sitting outside of a drugstore eating a box of something that would last the normal family about 6 months. I'm 27 years old. I'm almost 300 pounds. And I'm eating this entire box in one sitting. And it didn't matter how sick I felt or anything, I just had to eat it. And I wound up confiding in a person who came to my house one night. She was a cousin of a friend of ours, and she gave me the number of a doctor, and she said, I think she can help you. And I said, okay. So I called her, and she said, you know, how much her rates were and how often I would have to see her and where she was located. And she said, yeah, and you're going to have to go to Overeaters Anonymous. And I said, well, I went there. I didn't like it. She goes, then go to somewhere else. Go to a different meeting. My clients like this meeting that's on Friday night at this hospital. Why don't you try that one? I've heard a lot of good things about it. And I was like, okay. I never set up an appointment with her, but I did go to that meeting because I figured, well, might as well save all this. It was an hour drive. I would have saved this hour drive and a lot of money, and just I'm going to have to go to these meetings anyway, so let me just go to the meeting. Now I'm ready. Go to the meeting, person tells me I have a disease, I have an illness, and I'm like, yep, there's something very wrong with me. Yep. I said, I went to the mall today with my baby, and I felt like I was so dumpy. And she said, "Honey, you're not dumpy. You're sick." And she suggested that I not have certain foods, which probably now they wouldn't tell you that, but at that time that's what they did. Oh, okay, thank you. And I cut those foods out and I started working with a sponsor and I lost 100 pounds in 8 months. And I got to a normal weight. I started working the steps. Everything was not hunky dory at that time. I started working the steps, did a 4-step inventory with a group of women, did my amends. I can tell you there's no better feeling than after you've done your 8th and 9th steps. It is so worth it. I just felt like I was on top of the world. And they were my most uncomfortable moments, the most ego puncturing for me. And today I do not eat my binge foods in any form. I do not eat those ingredients. I don't care if they're first on the label or 10th on the label. I do not eat them. I'm too sensitive to it. I can't handle it. When even a little bit gets in my system, I want to have 10 lunches. But most of the time, I'm completely neutral. The obsession is completely gone. I stay in 10, 11, and 12 every day. Every day. I just know that the minute I stop working 10, 11, and 12, I'm a goner. I don't think I have. Some people can coast for 6 months. I'll be lucky I can coast for a couple days. I'm just too afraid. I do. I would no sooner go out of the house without doing my morning prayers than I would go out of the house without brushing my teeth or putting my clothes on, because that is what I need to do. Now, do I spend hours doing this? No. I sponsor till my schedule is as full as when I start feeling really overwhelmed at night, then I realize I have enough sponsees. And then I start saying, I'm not available. I'll get you to somebody else. But, when I sponsor, I work all 12 steps all day long. I'm at 2 meetings a day, and I just can't think of a better way to live. It's probably been 5 minutes that I'm talking now. Or anyway, I just want to really thank you for inviting me to speak. We're going on a cruise next week, and I'm a little nervous. I know that they have meetings on this cruise, so I'm gonna go, but I just don't want anything to get a foothold. So thanks for letting me share.